Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the 24th of Elul. Today we're going to study a tshuva that Rav Herzog wrote on the 24th of Elul. He did it on the 24th of Elul of Hei Tov Shin Tet of 1949, so right after the War of Independence from Heichal Yitzchok Evan Ezer Bet Simon Mem. And it's kind of a heartbreaking tshuva because it's a discussion of how to handle a situation where soldiers are going to war, and God forbid, but unfortunately and sadly, some percentage of them aren't going to come back, and we're not going to know where they are. And among the things we want to take care of are their wives. That the wives should not be, if God forbid, their bodies are never found, so we never know what happened to them. If we want to have a way to let their wives remarry. And so he says it that way. He says, our prayers are that shouldn't be a war, but we have to be prepared that if there is a war, Kodesh Baruch Hu should let us find a way that we can proactively worry about the wives. Now, this harsha that he's suggesting what a harsha is an authorization. So if the husband authorizes people to write a get to his wife after a certain period of time or after certain kinds of events could happen, you can do such a thing. So let's say he says, and this is a perfectly acceptable thing to do, and then we're going to talk about the halakhic complications. Let's say he writes out in front of witnesses, if I don't return within 5 months, write a get for my wife and give it to her and she'll be divorced. So that's a valid thing to do, and there was a tradition going back to the time when David HaMelech had soldiers in the Jewish army, that that's what they used to do. Back in David's time, I think they might have given a get all tonight. They might have actually given the get. If I don't come back, this get will be valid. We'll see in a little bit why that's not feasible in the situation of the state of Israel in 1949. But right up front, Rav Herzog notes that he doesn't think this harsha'ah, this authorization, can help with the chalitza problem. Let's suppose that the young couple, and the man is going to war, and they do not yet have children, and he has a brother, or more than one brother. If he disappears, and God forbid, sadly dies, she has to either marry the brother, or today, we almost solely do chalitza, where she has a ceremony with the brother, and then she can marry somebody else. If he disappears, this harsha, his giving the right to write a get, will not help us with the problem of needing chalitza or not needing chalitza, because if he had died before the get happened, then she needs a chalitza anyway, because at the time that he died, she was married to him. She's his widow, and if she's his widow, she needs a get, meaning if they have children, so there's no chalitza issue, and he writes her a get and then doesn't come back. So even if it were true that he passed away before the get became valid, either way, she is now able to marry, because either the get freed her to marry somebody else, or the fact that he was dead freed to marry somebody else. But either way, she's free to marry. But with chalitza, it doesn't work that way. With chalitza, if she passed away, she immediately, without children, she became obligated in chalitza as his wife at the time. So that's going to be a continuing problem that Rav Herzog has not yet have a full solution for. In some situations, let's say he doesn't go to war, but let's say he just goes on a business trip and he leaves a harsha'ah, he leaves an authorization that if he doesn't return by a certain time, they should write her a get. In those situations, we would be allowed to. We wouldn't have to worry about chalitza because we don't know that he died and we don't necessarily think that he died. He just disappeared for long enough. So let's say he says, I'm going to America, and I don't know if I'm coming back, and I don't know what the situation is, I don't know what to bring you, I don't want to leave you in this uncertain situation. And therefore, if I don't come back within a year, write her a get. So he goes to America, we don't hear from him, and Rav Herzog's point is that we're allowed to write her a get in that situation and not worry that she needs a chalitza, because we're allowed to assume that he's alive. Because we generally assume that people are alive on the other than very, very old people, or people who are already ill with a deathly illness, with a life-threatening illness, we generally assume people are alive. So that means that halakhically we're allowed to assume he's still alive, and even if we later find out that he passed away, but we don't know when, we're allowed halakhically to delay that assumption till after she got the get, and the reason we're allowed to do so is because of this idea of this chazaka that people who are alive stay alive. But when an event occurs to somebody such that they're a suffic chaisak, we can't assume they're necessarily alive, and that happens before the time of the giving of the get, so then we can't say, oh, the get must have been given before he passed away, because we don't know. And certainly a soldier going to war, then being missing in action, is the kind of thing where that would create that suffic. And therefore, he's not sure that he has a solution to that problem at this point. Now, he comes to the question of, you can't have him give a get to his wife al tanai. Everybody to do that. The reason you can't do that is, first of all, he says practically you can't do it, because practically a get requires a sofer, it requires a scribe, and it requires lots of issues that you have to think about in terms of the dating of it and all sorts of issues that come. So you need a harsha. So harsha works much better, because harsha is a much less formal endeavor. So if you have an army with tens of thousands of soldiers, they can each write a harsha in front of two witnesses, and then harsha is easily done. It's not a very technical halachic document, and therefore it's much more easily done, and therefore it's much more practical to allow a harsha. But then we have a problem. Here's the problem that comes up. Let's say the husband gets off from the army during the course of a war. This happens. People, you know, get to go back for a weekend or whatever it is. They come back and they see their wives. So with a get, you have a problem, and maybe with a harsha, you have a problem, because in other circumstances, we say that if a couple were in the process of getting divorced, the husband had written a get to the wife and had not yet delivered it to her, and then they live together as husband and wife, we say, we assume that that means that the husband has changed his mind and nullified the get. So if the husband now, in our situation, is going to come back from the army for a weekend, for, you know, a chofesh, and he's going to go and spend time with his wife and everybody's happy, maybe that will create this problem of that we think that the harsha or the get itself is no longer valid, has been nullified. So some hold that there's a whole issue about whether that's true or not, but the Rambam and the Ramban, he says it's not clear you'd have that problem. Rav Herzog says, but he thinks we can avoid that because his assumption is that when the person writes out the harsha, writes out the authorization before he goes off to war, he takes a strict oath, and he accepts upon himself a cherem, an excommunication, that he won't invalidate this harsha. So we have a chazaka that a person wouldn't bear those consequences unless we hear from him explicitly. He still has the halakhic power to do so. If a husband in that situation, for whatever reason, invalidated the harsha, that would work, for whatever reason. But we require that he says it explicitly, and everybody agrees with that. And then he writes heartbreakingly. And also, why would we even think about in this situation? In the situations that the Rishonim were talking about, that was when a man is planning on divorcing his wife because he doesn't want to stay married to her because he's unhappy with her in some way and he wants to end the marriage, and then we're worried that if they get together for a little while, maybe that means he had a change of heart and no longer wants to divorce her, and that would nullify the authorization he get. But now, Rav Herzog says, this whole get, this whole divorce that he's authorizing is out of his love for her. So how would you think that all of a sudden, because he comes back to spend time with her, which is another example of the couple's love for each other, why would that be a reason to think that he got rid of the harsha? So this is the heartbreaking, to me, element of it, this whole idea that a husband might have to, out of deep love for his wife, authorize a bill of divorce for her because of what might happen to him and how that might affect her. So that's what Herzog's argument in favor of allowing these harshas, even though these harshas, these authorizations, even though the husband will come back in the course of the war and have opportunities, we hope, will have opportunities to spend time with his wife. He doesn't think that that should, even though there's a long discussion about this in the Rishonim, they're talking about a situation where we're worried, we're wondering whether his spending time with her means he's nullified the authorization, but that's because the authorization stemmed from negative emotions, so they're spending time together is evidence of positive emotions, and we wonder whether those positive emotions have gotten rid of the negative emotions. Herzog says that's not our situation here. Here, it's all positive emotions, so there's no reason to think there's any change here whatsoever. Problem is, there's a Gemara in Gittin, Ayin Gimbal, that says if a man gives a get to his wife and he gives it to her on condition, he says, I'm giving it to you on condition, it takes effect now if I pass away. Right, so that seems to be very parallel to our situation, and the Gemara there says, "Lo tiyachenimo," they shouldn't be alone together. And Rashi there explains that we might be worried that it's like a renewed kiddushin. It's another act of kiddushin because although we no longer do this, and it's not really allowed to do this, but it is technically halachically true that people can use the act of marital relations as an act of kiddushin. So we might be worried that that means that it's an act of kiddushin, and therefore you'd need to write a whole nother get that would invalidate the get in that sense. Not because he's intending to invalidate the get, but just because the whole action of their having live together is an act of kiddushin. That's what Rashi in the Gemara in Gittin seems to say. So that seems to be a direct contradiction to what Herzog had suggested. Even if that's not true, it'll turn out if he gives her the other reason that it could be a problem is, let's say that's not true, and they have spent time together after he's given her this get, mehayom imati, from today if I pass away. Then it'll turn out if, God forbid, he passes away at some point, the get will have taken effect before this meeting that they had, and he will end up having relations with a penuya, with an unmarried woman, and there's all sorts of problems with that. It's not appropriate, and he'll have done something inappropriate. So the Rav Herzog says the worry is that maybe the man will have the intent that if he passes away, it'll be a get retroactively. His bia will be a bia tznut. He doesn't want it to be a bia tznut. And therefore, he'll decide that it's like kiddushin. That's what we're worried about. That he'll have remembering the get. He'll then decide to sort of circumvent it because he doesn't want to be caught in an act of either kiddushin or in an act of znut, in an act of promiscuity. So that's the way Rashi reads it. So Rav Herzog says, well, let's think about that. That chashash, does that apply here? Now the question is, I think that Rav Herzog doesn't quite deal with why we assume that's the case there. If the man already gave his wife a get, mehayom imati, it would seem to be, in its origins, very similar to the kind of a get that we're speaking about now, and yet Rav Herzog is not going to treat it that way. So that's the question. If Rav Herzog were here, we could ask him that question. So Rav Herzog says, that question seems to be only where he's being mityached, he's getting back together with a woman who he gave her a get, mehayom imati, but he really meant it as a get. There really was already tension in the relationship, there was something separating them, and he says, and if I die, then it'll be a get, and if I don't die, it won't be a get. So he raises a bunch of questions, but his final question is, why would Rashi explain that our worry is that the relation that they have is a bitul of the get, is a nullification of the get? So he says, but here again, since there's no hatred here, there's no, he's trying to help her out, there's here for sure, he thinks, no reason to think that's what he's doing. In other words, whatever the circumstance for Rashi were to say, no, maybe he'll be worried about that it's considered an act of promiscuity, or maybe it's a renewed kiddushin, whatever the Gemara there meant there, Rav Herzog says, that can't be in a situation where he's thinking primarily of her. But in our war case, he is thinking primarily of her, because his primary concern is, God forbid he'll get killed or disappear in a way that nobody knows where he is, and she'll be stuck. He doesn't want that to happen. So if that's true, if Herzog's basic point is, nothing he does afterwards should be considered a bitul of that unless he says so explicitly, because his whole goal is to help her out. And all the things we're worried about will not help her out. So then obviously it should be true that it should stay in effect. That's Rav Herzog's basic opinion and basic feeling about this issue. Now, that would be true if he actually wrote a get for her. But in our situation where we say he's going to write a harsha, he's going to authorize people to later write a get, so then they've only been made messengers, so there the nullification is has a much lower threshold in halacha. And the whole idea that he's doing it out of love for her, maybe that's not enough. But he says, but it's also true that we're having him take a very strict oath. And he writes that an oath in halacha is a very strong matter, and people don't tend to violate their oaths. And then he writes, v'im ki lo ich shardara, even in our generation, where people don't stick to their word nearly as much as they should. They're not nearly as sensitive to taking oaths and the importance of oaths as they once were. But unless we know that a person is ignoring the oath, we have to assume, we have to have a chazaka, we have a halachic presumption that he's going to keep to his oath, because it should be, he's saying it is, and today it's hard to know if it's true, but it should be a cherpa, an embarrassment to a person, to take an oath and then violate the oath. And so, so in our situation, he hasn't actually written a full get, and he's come for a visit. he doesn't think of her as a penuya. He thinks of her as his wife. So there's no reason to think that he feels the need to nullify it there. So there's nothing going on, refers to saying, that should get in the way of that. And then you're going to tell me that Be'ilah is considered a pius, is considered, when they get together, like he's finding a way to convince her to stay married. He says, what are you talking about? There is no pius. There's no issue of convincing her to stay married. They both never thought they were ending their marriage. Right? The whole thing is for her good, for her benefit and to help her out, and therefore all of these worries and things go away in this situation, but not for chalitza purposes. And that's the next thing, and he can't see any way out of the chalitza issue unless he writes a get and gives her the get now, because if he gives her the get now, so then you're okay. But the problem is that lots of people in the army are going to be young, and so they might not have children yet. And so you're going to have to write a whole bunch of get, and that's very difficult technically in terms of finding the sofrim to do it. And then you're not going to use them, and you're going to spend a lot of time and effort on writing get, and that's going to take a while. And so unless you're going to, sort of have a draft of sofrim, a draft of people who are scribes who know how to write get, and get a whole bunch of them together, and get a whole bunch of courts together, and you have it, it's going to be a problem. Unless you can publish forms, like gittin forms, and that'll ease the burden because you won't need a sofer for as many things. But there's a halakhic question as to whether one can print forms of gittin and then just write them up. And the Rambam writes that they allowed it for the takanas ha-sofrim. The sofrim sometimes got busy, so they had sofrim to ahead of time write the basic form of the get without the date and the names of the important people involved, the husband, the wife, the witnesses. But that's a machloket among the Rishonim, whether that's okay. And the Ramban thinks that that's completely invalid, that unless the whole get is written for the purposes of the divorce, once it's decided who's getting divorced and when, that it's not going to work. But the Herzog says, but we haven't seen the Ramban claim, says that if she uses that get and then marries somebody else, that it's so invalid that we would require her to leave that second marriage. We say, no, she never got a get from her husband. And in our situation, we're talking about where the husband would have disappeared and wouldn't be around. So that's what the Ramban seems to say. The Tor quotes the Ramban as saying, even b'di'eved, and the Ramah, who was Rameir Levi Abu Lafia, not the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah, who the Torah quotes a lot, who was an important rabbi in Toledo, says that even if she gets married, she has to leave the marriage, and it seems like it's going to the Ramban, but Rav Herzog isn't sure. So Sach HaKol, Rav Herzog thinks we have to think about this, and he doesn't think that the Ramban really believes it that way, and so he's not sure. Whatever the right answer to that is, he thinks that since this is not a d'oraita issue, in terms of the validity of the get, it seems like it's a Ramban issue about whether or not writing up the tofes ahead of time invalidates the get, and so therefore, even though the machlok will be shown him, when we have a situation of tzchak, we have a problematic situation that we're going to have people suffering, he thinks you can rely on the Rambam's more lenient psak, that you can, print these up ahead of time, or put these up ahead of time, and then you can put them all together and have them. And if you can't print them up, because they're, several hundreds in army, or maybe thousands in the army, who are going to be in this situation, many post-game allow literally printing it and say that it's okay. Chavos Yair and others people seem to have said that, but you have to be very careful that you have to have a Yirei Shamayim do it. So that would be another option for how to get around these issues and to get the getting done. Because in other words, if you just have a harshah, an authorization, that's not going to help with chalitza issues. So maybe for all of the army wives who might be in danger of needing a chalitza, you would actually have to give a get. That's going to create another problem we're going to get to in terms of the wife of a kohen. We'll get to it. And then what do you say the condition is? How are you going to word it? So he thinks that his first thought is, make the condition if from now and for a year after the end of the war, I die, but I think he means I don't come back because we don't know where he is, because that's what we're worried about, in this situation. He says, make this a get 1 hour before I die. So if the period passes, right, and in the condition you write, and lo hutrali nasei shtei rabbi rashi, meaning that no important rav, including the members of the chief rabbinate, a large part of whose time early in the state, was spent on these kinds of issues, on women whose husbands had disappeared and we don't know if they passed away or not, then the get will take effect. So it's an odd formulation because it seems like he really means not before, if I die, it means if I disappear. And then, but the end conclusion he says is yachul shachat lifnei mitati. It has to take full effect one moment or an hour before I die, before the man passes away, because he can't give a get after he dies. So that's the challenge that he's trying to deal with. Meaning, if the man disappears and died, then you can't have a get take effect after that. So if you say mehayom imati, so then it'll be from today if I pass away, but we'd have to know that he passed away. So not yet the form I think that we're going to get to is going to think is the right form. Because let's say, one of the problems he says is, let's say he passes away, mitok de'am miturefet mitok yisurei hamita. Let's suppose the pain of dying, whatever the pain is, whatever he's going through, means that he's not in his right mind, as can happen to people. So then he's not a person who's able to give a bill of divorce, because you have to be in your right mind to be able to do so. And so you'd have a problem, because he's having that be the end point of the get taking effect. So Herzog says, we don't have to worry about that. We're nachoshin l'tiruv hadat. And he says, so about gesisa, let's say he's on his deathbed, he's in the process of dying. Being a goses is a halachic category. A person is on their way to death and has all sorts of halachic ramifications to it. But one of them is, there's a machloket if a person who's a goses has the ability to authorize a get, to give a get, because we're not sure where his mind is at the time. So, and there, even if it seems like he's in his full right mind, there's a machloket about that situation. That's why he says, Misha'achat kol demitato. So the intent probably would be the hour, an hour at which he was still roi to give a get, or since he's still alive and the get is already given and it's just a chalot, maybe that's okay and it would work out that way. Another issue is what's called a get yashan. There's a worry about a get that's written and then left around for a while and then delivered later. It's got all, it creates various worries, including the worry that people will come to believe that she was divorced before she became pregnant with a child. So, for example, in our situation, let's say, sadly, man goes to war, comes back, and leaves her a get, you know, and comes back, and the get is going to take effect, right, from now and a moment, an hour before he passes away. Then he comes back on a weekend visit or a chofesh for 24 hours, and they have relations, and she becomes pregnant, which ordinarily would be a nice thing. And then, sadly, he disappears and is killed. And we don't find the body. We're not sure if it's him, and therefore we have this problem. So therefore we say, no, we can rely on the get. And the get takes effect. So isn't that a get yashan? So he's got various parts to answer, some of which are in our purposes. Some of them are that it's such a shatat chak, he says, v'almrim mikogon zeh kato bishvil sheyizku Yisrael. Maybe we'll allow something that really halakhically we shouldn't to help the Jewish people. That the needs are so pressing and so great, maybe you can do it. To me, that's one of the examples of who Rav Herzog was, that people, I don't know that I have always appreciated, maybe other people have always appreciated this, and I'm just speaking to the converted, but it's a reminder, and I've seen this in other Chivot, of how much of Rav Herzog's life was spent on very practical issues, on just helping people live halakhic lives. It wasn't necessarily there wasn't necessarily a great genius to what he was doing. It was, he knew a tremendous amount, a tremendous time in Chacham, but he didn't, and I'm not saying he couldn't have, I'm just saying it seems like much of what he spent his time on was technical nitty-gritty things. We have a war, we have an army, we have a Jewish army, we have Jewish boys going to war, we want their wives to be able to remarry, what do we do about it? Right, and that kind of motion and that movement and that ability also to say and to come to a conclusion of it, maybe the answer will just be we'll do something slightly wrong, relying on very minority opinions, because that's the only way we can think of to help other Jews, and that we have to do as well. And I think there's a heroism here that bears noting and admiring, even if it's from the distance of 70 years or whatever it is. But then he says, but it's also true, he thinks, that the whole idea of a get yashan is less of a problem today. And the reason he says less of a problem today is because the practice by his time and in our time is that once a get is delivered to the woman in front of a beit din, in front of a court, and she's fully divorced, we tear it up. Right? You tear it, you don't tear it up, but you tear it, and the tear shows that it's been delivered, and is left with the beit din, not with her. So if that's true, then if he gives her the get on the condition that he doesn't come back, And then it gets put into effect by the Beit Din. It gets torn, left in the Beit Din, and the Beit Din know about such things, and you don't have to worry about the whole idea of maybe she got the get before she had the son. Right? So that's another thing to help him out with this idea that maybe it's a get yashan, an old get that was written too long before it was delivered to be considered continually valid. So the problem in our situation, though, he says, is that it's not going to get torn up right away. Right, you need it not to get torn until after it's fully delivered. So she needs to hold on to it till then, and you don't want to do that. So therefore, he says, he thinks what should happen is that every woman should have a file with the local Beit Din, and the local Beit Din will have it all recorded, and they'll be the ones in control of everything. So you won't have any sfeikot about why it's in her possession and what she doesn't have, and he thinks that'll help with all of these problems. So in summary, he thinks that there's room to allow printing, Gittin with everything other than the vital information that's relevant to them, which will be written in later, which he's going to actually get her get, to give her, it's going to be written in, but written for each person for its particular purpose. He'll give her the get, and he'll tell her in front of witnesses the get will only take effect in the following situations. If he passes away, and if he doesn't pass away in that time, then the get will, right, if he doesn't pass away, that's what we're worried about. If we don't know that he passed away, then the get will take effect an hour before the end of the time period, right? So if I don't show up within a year after the end of the war, then let the get take effect either an hour before I die, if I died, or an hour before the end of the time period. So he says also, problem is, and this he doesn't really answer, is that they're going to then not be able to marry Kohanim. Because we won't know, they might be widows, and widows are allowed to marry Kohanim, but they might be divorced, and women, divorced women are not allowed. So all of these women, if they're in this situation, would not be able to marry a Kohen for their second marriage. And then once that's true, you have to also wonder yourself, if she's married to a Kohen, and they do this, right? You know, if there's a Kohen who's fighting as a soldier in the army, and you have this worry, and he wants to give his wife a gift for the same reasons as everybody else is doing it, when he comes back, it's even more of a problem, because the problem with the other soldiers was worry that it'll constitute in some way a nullifying of the get. But with a Kohen, the worry is that maybe she's a divorcee, and he's not allowed to be with her or to remarry her. So Rav Herzog says, but I don't understand, that's only going to be true once the get is fully delivered, right? So the problem is that the Rambam had an opinion that said that if you give a get al Tanai, even once the Tanai is fulfilled, once the condition is fulfilled, it means it's a get going all the way back to when it was first given, and therefore the Kohen will have a problem. So Rav Herzog says, but when I thought about it, I think that we're talking here about a get that will be sort of valid for the whole time of the war, and his time in the house will only be a small amount of time, won't come up to the robe for sure, and it's an issue de Rabbanan, so he thinks that there's room to allow it. So perhaps just to say that he doesn't say that it should take effect from now if I die, it should only take effect a moment before he becomes deathly ill, and then there's no chashash, because there's no there's no effect of the get of the divorce right now when he comes back to visit, and maybe that should be okay. Sum total, he says, for all the problems that come up, he thinks, other than the chalitza one, which was more of an issue, but all other than, with the chalitza, you had that you couldn't know whether she was divorced or widowed. But everything else, he says, klolo shel davar efshar limtso etza. I think sach hakol, you can always find a way around it. You can find a way to write the condition well enough that will cover all of these situations and allow for them. And that confidence, I think, also bears noticing, his confidence that halacha can be applied to a living, thriving state of Israel. With the challenges that come up, with issues that come up, we can find a way to make our Torah, which for many years was much more theoretical about a lot of issues, we can make it into a Torah that applies to the real world, and that's what he was focused on here, and he thinks he's pretty sure you can find a way to do it. Now, what if she wants to wait? So what's she going to say? Let's say he's given her the get, a year afterwards going to take effect, she's divorced now. But what if she doesn't want to be divorced? What if she says, no, I think he's going to make it back, I think he's in captivity, whatever she thinks. She doesn't want to get married yet, she wants to wait. And so you could say, well, they can get remarried, right? So that's not a problem. But what if he's a Kohen? Right? If he's a Kohen and the get takes effect, then they can't get remarried. So then he says, you're going to have to find a way, you write the condition such that it's her choice in some ways. You say that if he's living for a certain period of time, right? And if she does X act, then the get will take effect. And if she doesn't do X act, the get won't take effect. So then maybe he died before she did the act or before she made a choice. So we can say, okay, so if he dies before she makes her choice, the get should take effect beforehand, because then there's no worry, right? There's no point in her waiting if she doesn't know about it yet. So we can make the condition, if he dies, the get will take effect an hour before he dies. If he doesn't die, it'll take effect, and he's missing, and we want to free her, it'll take effect if she does X act. So we're Kurtzuk thinks you can write all those sorts of conditions into the get that he's giving, and that way we can make sure that among the tragedies that war can bring, and we won't add to those tragedies by leaving a woman or women stranded without their husbands and without knowledge of their husband's fate, such that they can't get remarried. And with all of that, we can hope, as the Herzog did at the beginning of the tshuva, we can hope that we never have to put these halachot into effect again, that soldiers never have to go to war again, and that if they go to war, they don't get lost again at war, and that husband and wife be able to live long and happy marriages together, lives together, without any of these issues coming up. But for those situations where that's not yet our good fortune, on the 24th of Elul of Tafshin Tet of 1949, Rav Herzog showed us ways to begin dealing with these issues, and that is the response of a day for the 24th of Elul.